Good morning and good Sabbath. It's a little cloudy, but it's still always a great Sabbath. If you turn with me to Leviticus 23, I'd like to begin by reading the first three verses there. Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 3. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my set feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings." Every Sabbath, we're obligated to have a holy convocation, a gathering for the purpose of offering worship to Yahweh. These services are sometimes formal, such as we're having here today, or informal, like the ones we have in our homes every other week. In either case, the intent is to offer worship to Almighty Yahweh. And with that thought in mind, turn over to Psalm 96, and we'll read that in its entirety. We know, as we saw in Leviticus 23, that we're obligated to have a convocation. And it's interesting that some individuals are all by themselves, and they do the very best they can to comply with that. Their convocation is merely with them and Yahweh and Yahshua. But wherever possible, there should be a gathering on Yahweh's Sabbath. And as I said, the purpose is to worship. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all Elohim. For all the Elohim of the peoples are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to Yahweh, you kindreds of the peoples. Ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship Yahweh in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, Yahweh reigns. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar in the fullness of it. Let the field exult in all that is in it. Then shall all the trees of wood sing for joy before Yahweh, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth. Now this psalm is frequently used for devotions or introductory purposes, for specials, for example. However, consider the words, and especially the sentiment that the psalmist brings in this psalm. He talks about singing to Yahweh, singing this song, and blessing his name. He said to declare his glory. So we should be constantly declaring the glory of Almighty Yahweh every opportunity we get. For great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised. He's worthy of the praise that we offer, especially on the Sabbath day. Ascribe to Yahweh. Ascribe glory and strength. Ascribe glory due his name. Worship Yahweh in holy array. There is a certain attitude that must accompany the worship of Almighty Yahweh. There's a certain frame of mind that we must be in. And this morning, I'd like to take a few minutes to consider our attitude in attending services and offering worship to our Heavenly Father Yahweh. And the title of this is The Attitude of Worship. The term, even as you see here in this Psalm 96 in verse 9, the term is shachah. It means to depress. And we don't think of it depress as in depression, but to depress as in to push down or to lower. To prostrate, especially in homage to royalty or Yahweh. It's been variously translated by several terms or words. Bow down, crouch, beseech humbly, do reverence or worship. So we can see that a worshipful service is one wherein there's a humility when we come. But there's also a reverence or respect for the being, Yahweh, our creator, who we are worshiping. Now, before going any further, the reason or purpose of considering this topic at this time is that it dawned on me that for so many years, there was a reluctance by so many of us to attend services. Some even experienced a type of anxiety or even a fear in some cases to attend services. There was a lack of desire to be there, but there was never a lack of desire to worship Yahweh. But when you come, the one thing affects the other. And one of the things that we've all talked about many times, we won't go down that road, but the point is, the one thing that we talked about is the way that it detracted from our ability to be in the proper frame of mind for worship services. Well, that's no longer the case. But how much of that detraction have we carried along? Not necessarily the thoughts of attending services in that there's an anxiety about it, but perhaps there's some lingering negative associations with just the concept of worship. And it shouldn't be. There should be an anxiety towards a good thing. There should be an anxious thought in our mind that this will be a joyful, wonderful experience, something that we look forward to, something that we anticipate. You know, in Judaism, the entire week revolves around the Sabbath. It's not that the Sabbath interferes with everything else. Everything else interferes with the Sabbath because the Sabbath forms the center of worshiping Yahweh. And that's the way we have to approach this. We all have things in our lives, and I'm no exception to the case. And when Friday comes, you say, oh man, I wanted to get this done, or I wanted to complete some task, or there's something you want to do, and Saturday might be the best day to do it, but we know we're not doing that. But how often do we think that maybe it is an imposition upon us, as opposed to thinking these people and these situations in the world are actually imposing upon Yahweh? That's the way it should be. That's the frame of mind that we should be in concerning the Sabbath. We've all noticed that there have been some changes. Even this morning, once again, we're singing different songs. We're trying to do things a little differently. And I'm sure that over the coming months and years, there will be other changes. We're not going to remain rigid and say this is absolutely the way it has to be. As we get ideas that assist in making this a better atmosphere, they will be implemented. But the whole point is we're seeking to make services more uplifting and more inspiring. Why? Look over in 1 Chronicles 16. Remember what we just read in Psalm 96, because the backdrop of that comes from this passage over in 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16, you can cross-reference it if you like. Beginning in verse 23, you'll see that the words pretty closely follow what you see over in Psalm 96. I won't read through the entire passage, but sing to Yahweh all the earth, show forth his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the peoples, etc. You can see that this is where this psalm appears in the book of Psalms. It comes from here. But what was the framework for this? The framework was a rejoicing because the ark was now going to have a permanent place of rest. Permanent yet temporary, in that it was going to be in a tent. But it wasn't going to go from place to place to place to place. David had brought it back to Jerusalem. So, for example, if we begin reading in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when Elohim helped the Levites that bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, that they sacrificed seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bore the Ark, and the singers, and Hananiah, the master of the song with the singers, that would be like the choir master or the choir leader or director. And David had upon him an ephod of linen. In this manner, all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh with shouting and with the sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals sounding aloud with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass as the ark of Yahweh of the covenant of Yahweh came to the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out at the window and saw the king dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of Elohim and set it in the middle of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Elohim. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a portion of flesh, and a cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of Yahweh, and to celebrate, and to thank and praise Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. And then it goes on to list what instruments and how they continually worshiped and praised. This was a joyous occasion. There's no way to tell whether or not this was a weekly Sabbath, but it's easy to tell that it was a time of worship. And there was a joyousness that was there. And when we attend services, that's the frame of mind we should be in. There shouldn't be things that detract from it. And we all have them. We have them in our personal lives. We have them in our family lives. We have them in our work lives. I mean, there are all kinds of things that detract. But just as we prepare for worship by choosing clothes, we must prepare our minds for worship as well. There's a frame of mind that we have to be in when we come in, when we attend here. The purpose of worship is to provide an environment where we can do three things. One, express our thanks to Yahweh for the blessing and protection he provides. So the first thing we're thinking of is the blessings that he's given us throughout the week and the fact that we're protected. We may have injuries, we may get sick, we may have deaths in the family, but you know, there's always something that we can look at and say, Yahweh has been there for us. Those are the things that should regulate our thoughts as we prepare for services. Number two, to outwardly express the joy for these things that he's giving, for the blessings and protections. So it's not just a matter of saying thank you. We can do that at home. Here in services or in your home at services, that's a time when you do it as a group, when you're thinking about it and you're sharing it. Even if we don't share the particulars of what Yahweh has done for us, and we frequently do as we talk on the Sabbath day with each other, but we outwardly express it as we sing songs of praise. And we lift our voices. Those are the thoughts that should go through our mind. As we read the psalm, Psalm 23, which we read this morning. I mean, how many times have we all looked at the words of that psalm and thought about how Yahweh has really been there for us? That the reason that you have a devotional reading is so that we all can express joy, praise, and thanks to Yahweh together. It's the purpose. But again, the frame of mind should be there before we even walk in the door. And number three, to establish and build on a personal relationship with Yahweh. I mean, we have instruction. It forms a very vital part of our worship services. We listen as someone speaks. We take notes. We think about it. We make cross references in our Bible. We talk about it during and after and maybe even during the week. All of that instruction is designed to provide a foundation for our beliefs, to enable us to better study, to enable us to be better servants of Almighty Yahweh. I don't know about you, but I know I've always been impressed by the passion that you see that some Christians or ex-Christians have, or some Jews have, or even Muslims have with regard to their worship. I mean, you think about that. I know maybe you haven't, but I know I've been impressed, wowed even by it on some levels. And you say, on some levels you say, is there something they have that I don't? Well, we know that there isn't with regard to worshiping Yahweh. But there should be a similar type of passion in our worship. And I'm not suggesting that we go into Pentecostalism or something like that. Don't misunderstand me. But there should be the same sense of fervor with regard to worship services, because it is a service that is designed to offer worship, praise, and to show our devotion to Almighty Yahweh. And when you think about that, well, that's something that really causes us great joy. And there should be anticipation for good. Look in Psalm 150. You know, the attitude specifically of worship and I'll mention it now, is fourfold. I mean, you could probably list a multitude of things, but I chose four. Four things that must be present in the attitude: humility, joy, expectation in a good sense, and focus. Humility, joy, expectation in a good sense, and focus. Focus on worshiping Yahweh, on why we're here. Not on the problems of the week, not on the problems of the day, not on the situations we're living in, not on the goods and not on the bads anyway, about the things that exist in our lives. Because we have a bigger asset in our lives than anyone else, and that's Almighty Yahweh, through Yahshua the Messiah. And we never want to minimize Yahshua's importance in this entire equation. We were talking about that recently. Yahshua forms the core of what we believe. He showed that it is possible to properly worship Yahweh through living right. He showed that it is possible. In Psalm 150, we actually read this last night, or someone read it last night in my home. Hallelujah. Praise El in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise Yah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. And that's exactly why we're here, to offer praise to Yahweh. I mean, you know, we could think, why don't we end our prayers and our benedictions, for example, with Amen? There's nothing wrong with the term, although some try to say it is of pagan origin. It's a Hebrew term, and there's nothing wrong with it. It means truly or verily or I affirm that this is so. That's what the word means, and there's nothing wrong with it. But think about what we're saying when we end it with praise Yahweh. We're giving him directly the benefit, the glory, the beauty, the honor, the reverence, the respect that he deserves. So we end it usually by saying hallelujah. Our attitude of worship should be one of devotion to Yahweh. There must be an indication of our service to Yahweh. And how do we indicate that devotion? We banish all outside thoughts from our mind and heart, so that the entire inner self centers on the idea of Yahweh's greatness and goodness. Now, this wasn't original. I kind of stole this from somebody, so I'll repeat it. We show our devotion by banishing all outside or outer thoughts from the mind and heart, so that the whole inner self centers on the idea of Yahweh's greatness and goodness. The greatness and goodness of Yahweh is the reason we offer worship. And that is why we're here. And that's why there should be a great sense, a great feeling that we have on the inside. You know, and it has to be sincere. Look in Isaiah 29. We look at this passage frequently for another reason. But consider what he's really saying here in verse 13. Usually we consider the two verses together, but I want to focus on one point here. Isaiah 29:13. And Yahweh said, since this people draws near to me, when do you draw near? Prayer and worship. Either individual prayer, which is private worship, or worship together. This people draws near to me with their mouths and with their lips, they honor me. So it is just as we would say today, lip service. There's no depth there, but have removed their heart far from me. The heart, really, as this expression, this thought that I read earlier says, the heart really has to be centered on the greatness and goodness of Yahweh in a sincere manner, not just as a lip service. Let it be the focus of what you think about as you prepare for services. Revelation 11. In Revelation 11, beginning with verse 16, the 24 elders, spirit beings, who sit before Yahweh on their thrones, fell upon their faces and worshiped Yahweh, saying, notice they're worshiping, saying, "We give thanks, O El Shaddai, who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and did reign." Now, I won't read the rest because that deals more with the judgment. But notice the attitude of giving thanks for Yahweh's greatness and goodness and who he is and the reigning power and authority that he has. Look over also in Revelation 19, verses 3 to 5. Revelation 19, beginning with verse 3. "And a second time they say, Hallelujah, and her smoke goes up to the ages of the ages. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped Yahweh that sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came forth from the throne, saying, Give praise to our Elohim, all you servants, you that fear him, the small and the great." And that's what worship is all about, giving praise to Yahweh. That's what we strive to do. And it is a good thing. It is a joyous thing. It's something that should be a sense of encouragement. Don't allow our negative thoughts. You know, we make associations. For years, maybe we would think as we got in our car, oh no, here we go again, as we drove or prepared to drive to services. Sometimes those thoughts stay in our mind without us not even realizing it. But it's not the same. And even then, when you really think about it, even then, the purpose for us being there was worshiping Yahweh. It may have been difficult for us to make that distinction, but that was the reason we were there. That should have been the focus then, and it absolutely must be our focus now, of offering worship and praise to Yahweh. I just want to close by reading a passage that I personally like to use for a benediction over in Psalm 103, because it speaks to the need to offer, to give Yahweh the right reverence that he deserves. Psalm 103, verses 20 through 22. "Bless Yahweh, you his angels." That's a messenger. And we're all messengers. We all know the truth. And when given the opportunity, we share it with others. That makes us messengers of the truth, his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, listening to the voice of his word. We listen every week, as we listen to a CD or as we hear services, as we are here today. "Bless Yahweh, all you his hosts." And that would be assemblies, so to speak, or congregations, or all the peoples or gatherings. It also has the indication of an army. And certainly we are an army of Almighty Yahweh. "All you his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless Yahweh, all you his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless Yahweh, O my soul." Brothers and sisters, as we gather on the Sabbath, as we prepare for worship every week, let's remember that we are preparing for worship, not just getting physically ready, but getting our minds into a certain frame of mind so that we look forward to and anticipate the instruction that we're going to receive, but also the great joy we have in offering praise to Almighty Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you.